The Caribbean Today, a digital news panorama by the Latin American News Agency from Havana, Cuba. This is News on the Dot. Today is Wednesday, August 24, 2022. Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel urged to continue the efforts to improve living conditions in the communities that have been classified as vulnerable nationwide. While touring the La Concepción neighborhood in Havana's La Lisa municipality, the Cuban leader called on the institutions and the population involved in this task not to let themselves be defeated by difficulties and to move forward. This neighborhood, with more than 2,500 inhabitants, is one of three communities in the Arroyo Arena Popular Council that are immersed in rehabilitation works. In a little more than a year of continuous work, streets have been paved here, schools, warehouses, and playgrounds have been restored, and work is being done on the conservation of multifamily buildings and sanitation work. Some 1,224 telephone lines were installed, one of the main demands from the population to which a solution was found. Cuba's Deputy Minister of Public Health, Carilda Peña, reported that dengue infection levels caused by the Aedes aegypti mosquito are 49.5% higher than the values for the same period in 2021. During a meeting of the government working group, the official explained that this percentage represents 1,683 more outbreaks. The provinces that contribute the highest number of focal points in the country are Havana, Santiago de Cuba, Holguín, Camagüey, Villa Clara, Matanzas, and Las Tunas. The experts agreed that, although there is an improvement in the fight against the disease, at the end of last week, there was transmission in 14 provinces, the special municipality of the Isle of Youth, 41 municipalities, and 50 health areas. Cubans residing in the United Kingdom denounced that the Stripe payment gateway froze their account to send humanitarian aid to the Caribbean island for fear of violating the U.S. blockade against Cuba. Once again, our association has been a victim of the U.S. blockade against Cuba, the non-governmental organization stated on its website. Last week, Cubans in the U.K. announced that they had been authorized by Stripe to raise funds through the GoFundMe, JustGiven, and Crowdfunder UK platforms after warning them that British law prohibits the extraterritorial application of unilateral measures imposed by Washington and Havana for more than 60 years. When we thought we had found a loophole in the sanctions by sending humanitarian aid to Cuba, the Stripe payment management platform blocked our account after confirming that we could use their service. And when we had raised almost £1,000 online, he said. According to the association, to hide the reason for that decision and avoid any legal dispute, the payment gateway based in North American territory alleged a group of justifications such as financial crimes, money laundering, high risk, and terrorism. We will continue denouncing this injustice before the relevant authorities, and we will also continue the campaign against the criminal blockade of Cuba and its extraterritorial effects, which constitute a clear violation of British and European laws and international law, the association said. And in the international agenda, we have that. The judges will investigate all those involved in Ayotzinapa case because it is a state crime, assured the president of Mexico, Andrés Manuel López Obrador. In his morning press conference at the National Palace, the president explained that a judicial process is being carried out in which the accused have the right to defense, but the magistrates have to verify the accusations and decide in accordance with an authentic state of right and not bribery. He repeated that, as it is a matter of state, everyone has to abide by the laws and speak, while the judges must listen to everyone's opinion, and hopefully the former attorney, Jesus Murillo Caram, author of The Farce of Historical Truth, tell who gave you the order to invent it. López Obrador insisted that there is intellectual dishonesty and conservative opponents of his government who are welcomed by the opposing media, and they report very differently between the false historical truth and what Alejandro Encinas revealed in the report on the Ayotzinapa case. He regretted that the previous government of Enrique Peña Nieto had withheld information on the Ayotzinapa case, apparently in order not to affect the institutions, without considering that they are strengthened when they act with the truth and with transparency. Meanwhile, the Bolivian Chamber of Deputies debates today a bill that declares July 17 as the National Day of Memory in tribute to the victims of military dictatorships. Between 1964 and 1982, Bolivia has suffered a series of coups and military dictatorships that resulted in a serious violation of human rights. These events left Bolivian families with death, mourning, and pain, said the president of the legislative body, Freddy Mamani. During the dictatorial regime of Luis García Mesa, there were around 26 forced disappearances and the Harrington Street Massacre in the city of La Paz, Mamani recalled, according to a note from the press service of that chamber. The establishment of the National Memory Day is part of the principles on public memory policies in the Americas, it was reported. We hope that these disastrous events, such as the military and civilian coups that have taken place in the country, will never be repeated, Mamani concluded, according to the press service report. And this is all for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more news on the Caribbean that unites us.